Hi everyone. As you all know, my name is Josh, and I'm one of the Gap Year Student Advantes over at Yorkshire Camps. It's really great to be with all this evening. This is my first time ever preaching in a church context, so I'm very glad to be speaking to you all here tonight, and this being my first place to speak at. This evening, I'm going to be speaking on one of my favourite passages in Scripture, perhaps Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 24. This passage talks about being strong in the Lord and taking up the full metaphorical armour that he provides. This is so we can stand firm and stay alert during spiritual attack. As this is my first preach, I'd love your input and your feedback. So afterwards, it'd be great to catch coffee with you all and we can talk about kind of what I spoke on more. But before we go into it, let's read the passage and then I'll pray for us all. Starting from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that you may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. I pray for us all now. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can get into your word now, Lord. It is such a blessing that we can read this and see just how important it is to trust and rely on you alone. You provide us protection from attack, Lord, and you give us your word. I pray that you will apply all these things to our hearts here tonight, and I pray that we'll leave with a deeper, more devoted heart for you. And Lord, help us as we look at this armour, which Paul talks about. We know, Lord, that we are weak without your strength. We have no strength on our own to resist the devil, all these dark powers. We can't do it without your work within us, Lord. So let us pray in thanks, Lord, that you've made us righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank you that you've made your glorious gospel known to us. And I pray, Lord, that we won't be discouraged by these threats from the devil, but instead help us to be thankful for you are a God who provides and protects. And I pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Cool. Well, firstly, I'd like to start with a question for you all. Is not our life a warfare? This is the question Matthew Henry asked when he was writing a commentary back in the 1600s on Ephesians 6. As Christians, we often face persecution, I believe, for our faith. Perhaps in some countries this is more extreme than others, but every Christian has an experience of some form of opposition and persecution. And some of us, perhaps it is a constant threat of persecution. Some of us may have non-Christian friends, non-Christian family. Some of us have been blessed enough to be in full-time ministry, and I'm sure that also has its fair share of persecution and opposition. And the writer of this letter, Paul, he was no stranger to persecution either, as we all know. And Acts 19 talks about his ministry in the city of Ephesus, and his ministry lasted for well over 2 years. The city itself, well, it was an important city in the Roman Empire at the time. It was an epicentre of trade and an epicentre of religion. It had the Temple of Artemis, which we now know as one of the wonders of the ancient world, and you can still see its ruins there today. But beneath all of this lay a city which was ridden with sin and idolatry to the goddess Artemis. You see, Paul had been working to make Jesus Christ known to Jews and Gentiles alike. That's one of the big messages of the other chapters of Ephesians. And we see it in chapter 2. Paul also talks on the need of Christian unity and faith. And in chapter 3, he reveals the mystery of the gospel. If the first half of Ephesians is gospel explanation, then I believe the latter part of Ephesians is perhaps gospel application. Paul first saw the need about teaching faith and salvation through grace, and in the latter part he talks of how we live out this great hope we have in Jesus. And I think this then leads us on to the main passage at the end of Ephesians 6. I do believe Paul perhaps ended this book like this for a reason. As Christians, the Ephesians will face many kinds of persecution. Now, some of this persecution might come from the Roman Empire. It might come from the religious leaders of the time, the Ephesians. But I also believe that Paul is referring to a more sinister, hidden enemy. And Paul is teaching them that only through God can we hope to be defended. I feel that this passage is almost like a bugle or a trumpet call. Paul is calling up the Ephesians here and preparing them for a life of warfare with the devil. But I believe that Christ will be our captain every step of the way, and he'll help us through it all. So starting off in verse 10, Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. If we are to have spiritual warfare, then it is important to rely on God for strength. Not our own strength, but God's alone. We can't do anything else, Paul says in the rest of this passage, if we don't get this simple fact down first. Paul tells the Ephesians in verse 11 to put on the whole armour of God, not part, but whole. You see, the devil will try to attack every weakness and every insecurity. So Paul tells us to receive the utmost protection. And in verse 12, we are told that it is not flesh nor blood that we should be worried about. Instead, we are told that we wrestle against rulers and the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And you see, the Ephesians were quite aware of these dark spiritual powers. You see, back in Acts 19, we see the Jewish exorcists tried to call out a dark spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. But I don't believe they knew the name they were using. And even the dark, evil spirit knew this. The spirit itself said, "Jesus I know, Paul I've heard of, but who are you?" And these Jewish exorcists, well, we know what happens next. They left naked, battered, bruised, and terrified. You see, the Ephesians knew of these threats. Satan's kingdom, as we know, is a kingdom of darkness and evil. Christ's kingdom is a kingdom of good light and goodness. And I think these are quite terrifying threats we read in Ephesians 6. And unlike flesh and blood, they can't be fought off with bullets, they can't be fought off with blades. These powers are much more powerful than us or the Ephesians of the day. And Paul tells us only with the full armour of God can we hope to stand firm. And you see, Paul gets the armour imagery from the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 11, verses 5, it says, "Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist." And in chapter 59 of Isaiah, verse 17, it says, "He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head." We are to dress like our Saviour, Jesus, as only by his armour can we hope to be protected from these dark spiritual forces. And Isaiah knew this. Isaiah knew this even before our Lord Jesus Christ was born, 600 years on. Back in the book of Ephesians, Paul tells us about this armour that we are to equip. In verses 14 of Ephesians 6, it tells us we are told to fasten the belt of truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness. You see, as we know, truth is of vital importance to the Christian. And the gospel, as we know, is the greatest truth of all we can ever have in our life. That is why it's important to have that fastened to us tightly as possible. And righteousness, well, that needs to be one of the biggest pieces of armour. A breastplate would, both in ancient times and in modern times as well, that protects the most vital parts of a human body. It protects the stomach, the intestines, the lungs, and also importantly, it protects our hearts. You see, the righteousness of Christ in us is our breastplate, and it protects us from the attacks of the devil. Next, with the shoes, and in verse 15, as we see in verse 15, they're on our feet, and they're to protect us as we continue our walk in this Christian life. Having shoes as armour in the modern day might seem like a strange thing, but there's a reason why in ancient warfare, shoes as armour was an important thing. Ancient warfare often utilised traps and often utilised spikes. if advancing foot soldiers and horses stepped in these traps, then what would happen? Well, they'd no longer be able to march. In the same way, we are to equip ourselves so we can continue to walk in our Christian lives and not stumble, and we can continue marching for him. The gospel of peace, it says here, makes us ready. What an amazing truth that we have this gospel of peace that we can rely on. In the next verse, Paul talks about the necessity of having faith as our shield. Our faith being steadfast in Jesus Christ shields us from the constant attacks of the enemy. And he will try to attack us constantly, but the shield will defend us. The helmet of salvation, in the next verse, perhaps it's there to protect our thoughts and protect our minds. You see, the devil will try to wiggle his way into your mind, and he will try to make you doubt, grumble, and think less of the God who loves us and saved us. However, the knowledge of our salvation protects us from these doubts. In 1 Peter 3, verses 18, Peter says that Christ also suffered for sins once and for all. In Jesus, our salvation is secure, and that can guard our minds when the devil tries to attack us. And finally, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It is a sword which cuts deep into the lies and deceit of the enemy. And something I find interesting about the sword of the Spirit, which is also the word of God, is that it's the only weapon mentioned in all of these verses. The only weapon. Everything else is a type of armour. This is our weapon. His word is enough, isn't it? And our Lord Jesus Christ showed this when he was in the wilderness. When he was in the wilderness for 40 days, no food, little to no water, in either extreme heat at day and immense cold at night, the devil came and tried to tempt our Lord. And what did he use to try and to successfully resist the devil? Well, he used the word, didn't he? He quoted scripture. And that was enough. And amidst all of this, Paul then goes on to mention the importance of prayer. You see, we must pray amidst our spiritual warfare, and we must also pray at all times. Now, this doesn't mean to pray without stopping. We all need to sleep, we all need to eat, and we all need to do all these things each and every day. It isn't, you can't pray all the time. But no, what this means is we are to have consistent times of devoted prayer in the Spirit's strength. And we are to pray in supplication, not praying just for ourselves, but praying for all believers. And in verses 19, Paul goes on to asking believers to pray for him as well. And this highlights the importance of praying for our faithful gospel ministers. I'd like to encourage you all as we go away tonight to pray for Alan as he leads the congregation here at Martin Top, or for the likes of Roger, who goes out and shares the gospel in different kinds of settings, whether it be just on the street or at different universities. And I believe it is really important to pray for our gospel ministers. And Paul asks for prayer so words can be given to him so that he can boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus. You see, the whole gospel was a mystery until Jesus came and made it clear what God's divine plan was since the beginning of time itself. Paul himself was a great orator. He was also very courageous in his ministry. And yet, even he saw the importance of prayer. In verses 20, Paul talks of how he is an ambassador in chains. We know that Paul was imprisoned and persecuted for preaching the good news of Jesus. And we also know that in the end, he was martyred and beheaded and persecuted even more for his belief in Jesus. And despite all of this, Paul still asks that he'd be able to declare the message boldly. And I just think it's such amazing faith, just thinking about it. Like, here's Paul in prison, and he's not asking the Ephesians to come over and help him escape out of prison, or he's not asking them to come on down to Rome to maybe negotiate the Roman governors and the Roman authorities to let Paul go. No, that's not what Paul's asking at all. He's asking that even in prison, he still wants the words to be able to declare his message boldly. And it really is amazing. Such was his love for the believers. And Paul is willing to send his close friend, Tychicus, to speak to the believers. And may we also learn to have such great love for others that are willing to give up one our time, but also to give up our ministry, give up our friends, just so that the gospel can be made known to others. And Paul concludes by saying, "Peace be to the brothers," in verse 23. And I believe the emphasis here is on the. He wants peace not just for the believers in Ephesus, but for all believers. Now, in that day, that might have been for the believers in Rome, the believers in Jerusalem, but I also believe that is for the believers over in Lancashire on a dark Wednesday evening here in Martintop. I believe it's for us as well. And Paul finishes by saying, "All of this in the name of God the Father and God the Son. Grace will be on those who love the Lord Jesus Christ." What an amazing way to finish the book. And yes, as believers, I believe we can be confident that these amazing truths still stand. You see, Jesus Christ has won the victory. The battle has been won and Satan is defeated. We are now in the final days, going towards being with him for eternity. And now we have his armour and we can resist the woes and the evils of this world and everything the devil's got to throw at us. We will be dressed in his righteousness in this life and the eternal life still to come. As the famous song says, "Who can stand against us if our God is for us?" And I believe one of the big takeaways from Ephesians could be summed up something like this. When we embrace Christ's love, we will also embrace the way of life that Christ loves. And I'd like to encourage you all as we all leave here tonight, let's embrace the way of life that Christ loves. And let's faithfully walk with him as we go forward in life. And even when the spiritual attack feels just hopeless and feels like just too much, God has given us his own armour to resist the devil and resist his attack. It's not through our own strength, but through his. So be encouraged that the victory's already been won and we are going towards our eternal home. Thank you all for listening. I'm going to quickly pray for us and then I'll hand back over to Alan. Heavenly Father, King of the universe, Lord, thank you that we've been able to get into your word. Thank you that we've been able to get into Ephesians 6. I just pray, Lord, that we can all go away this evening, just learning something new. And I pray, Lord, that we'll realise all of this, all these great gifts, Lord, of your different types of armour, they are just, it's just amazing, Lord, that we can rely on you, Lord, as we try and resist the devil. We can't do it on our own, Lord, we are weak, we are powerless, and only through your strength can we hope to get through our lives, Lord. And I just pray as we all go about the end of this week, Lord, I just pray that we'll devote ourselves to you and commit ourselves to you in everything we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.